everyone. Welcome again to the TradesCast, a podcast dedicated to everything in the world of entertainment for your enjoyment. I'm Jeff Bob.
And I'm Tom Moss, and this is the TradesCast for the week of July 5th. Happy 4th of July, just after 4th of July.
That's right. It sounds like you had a good one there. It's such a weird holiday to me. I don't really get the holiday so much. It's very much like, what's it about? I don't know. Light another one of those things we bought.
Well, this one seems a little bit easier. I mean, we kind of have a basic concept. I mean, it's not like Armistice Day or something, like the 11th day of the 11th month of the 11th hour. We don't have to keep all of that straight.
No, right? But I don't really see a lot of people saying, let's discuss independence.
Well, I think people are generally pro at this point.
They are, but mostly they're pro fireworks.
That's true.
There are a few, you know, on holiday weekends, there's not a lot usually to talk about except the box office, which we'll get to in a second. But I'm always fascinated by stories where something gets released in technology and I'm thinking, what? And I gotta be honest with you, that's how I'm feeling about Apple Music. A lot of these startups, and we've been talking about this with Jay-Z and Beyonce, and a lot of them have to do with music, I guess. I look at it sometimes and I think, isn't this field already super crowded? So, Tom, you are, because I think you have like a Roku and 48 other boxes on your TV.
That's right.
And you have 48 subscriptions to things. Can you tell me why in the world I would want to be delving into this?
Well, I can tell you what I've heard, because I haven't quite jumped in. I've been very close about three or four times, but I haven't quite pulled the trigger, and I'll tell you why in a second. But to answer your first question, I think the reason that people are jumping into this market is because there's a lot of players and there's a lot of capacity, and no one is doing it quite right yet. They haven't quite gotten it all figured out. So I think everybody can agree that the paradigm is shifting and that we're no longer going to run out to Walmart and buy our Johnny Cash CDs and store them and display them like we used to. So that ship has sailed. But what I think there is room for is, first of all, one of the first players into this market was Spotify. They are I believe, Swedish import. They pretty much run the market at this point. And they have deals with almost every record company and most artists appear there. I think the big names that you can't find, obviously the Beatles, Taylor Swift made news by not being on Spotify. Then things like Bob Seger, and I've been waiting for Peter Gabriel and Pete Townsend. Maybe anybody named Pete doesn't show up on Spotify. We talked a little bit about, Tidal that's coming into the market. They're really struggling, because they're using no free model whatsoever. So Spotify does have a free platform and they have a pay platform. And what Apple is doing is something really interesting. They are, number one, they're Apple, so they've got deals with about everybody that they've got deals in iTunes with. And they're doing a free trial, but then they're also doing, this is why I haven't quite been able to pull the trigger, they're doing that thing, Jeff, that I hate so much, where they're doing a free trial, but you have to sign up at the point of the free trial. So if it's September or October and I forget that I've signed up for Apple and I forget to turn it off, then I've started paying for it. So it's $9.99 a month. It's about the same price point. It is the same price point as Spotify. What I think they're offering is, a better understanding of who you are and what you like. So they will build playlists based on not only what you have listened to in the past, but where you are and what you say you're doing. So I think that's, kind of interesting. Although yesterday, I think it would have had a hard time. I think I might have broken the whole system with it trying to build a playlist off of the musical 1776 and Captain and Tennille. So I'm not really sure what would have happened.
Well, I'm telling you, it sounds like a good concept. It seems like they are, I think, have a real shot at taking some of the market. On the other hand, I read one review that basically said it took so much space on their iPhone that it was just it was kind of a beast.
Well, that's no problem. That's no problem at all, Jeff. You just have to get a bigger iPhone. See how this works? Do I have to explain everything to you?
Yeah, I guess that's how it just keeps working. It just spirals up out of control. So do you think in a year's time, just make a quick prediction, that they have grabbed enough of the market to be considered a real player.
Absolutely. I mean, I think they are definitely. I think what they're going to force is Tidal either to really step up their game, and I've, you know, we've been predicting they're going to have to go to a free platform or at least a trial platform now, or out of the business. And I think they're going to have to, they're going to force Spotify to up their game a little bit and to start doing a lot more with their analytics. So we'll see. Their radio on Spotify is not great. And, you know, it's there's lots of room for improvement, but, you know, they're also hugely capitalized, and I think they can probably swing it if they decide to.
I'm always fascinated to watch how the big players respond in any market. So that's what we're going to watch, is how they respond. It's always funny when upstarts come up and surprise people. I always talk about, if you listen to radio at all, Dollar Shave Club. They showed up out of nowhere, and all of a sudden you started to see the big razor people trying to create some like advertising. This is how much it costs a week with us. And I realized, oh my gosh, they are really frightened by these Dollar Shave Club people.
That's funny.
And I noticed that Budweiser just recently started doing commercials that basically said, "We're not a microbrew. That stuff's stupid. We're beer." Which leads me to believe that they're a little nervous about certain trends absolutely. That are happening. You know, it's we're down, and I got to tell you, way more than Letterman, way more than almost anything, I am really, really sad to see Jon Stewart leaving. I don't watch a lot of TV shows on a regular basis. I do watch The Daily Show on a regular basis, and I do not know if I'm going to watch it with this change. What's so interesting to hear, though, is that Amy Schumer could have been our host. Now, I am mixed on Amy Schumer. I don't necessarily love her show, but I like her thinking. She's not like Chelsea Handler to me, who I don't like at all. I do not like her. Amy Schumer, I find fascinating and interesting, and she might have been right for this show. I'm curious if you think she could have been a hit, a nighttime hit, do you think that really, are they going to recover from this leaving of Jon Stewart?
So let me address a few things. I mean, you know, there's no arguing with taste, Jeff, but Amy Schumer is brilliant.
I'm willing to accept that. I'm willing to accept, as long as we're not talking about Chelsea Handler, that's fine.
No, fair enough. No, I mean, you know, people like what they like, but I really do like Amy Schumer's show, and it's you know, she doesn't always hit the bullseye, but man, she is always she's always on the target somewhere, as far as I'm concerned. So I do think she's super smart, and I think there's evidence here that she's super smart, because she didn't take this deal. I think it would have been a bad move for her. I think she, you know, whether she would have been popular or not, I think enough people would have tuned in that it would have been interesting. But what she said is that it's going to tie her down for 5 years. And while she likes the idea of working with the same people that she likes for 5 years, she also likes the idea of surprise. And Jeff, she's going to, I mean, this movie, this Trainwreck movie is coming out in I think next week. It's going to be huge. And I think she's got a huge movie career ahead of her. I think she can do a lot of things. So not to be tied down to The Daily Show, is probably smart for her. It's a crowded market, and I'm not sure she'd be able to pull it off year after year.
But do you think we're looking at a new host that's even going to last 5 years? Because I got to tell you, one of my favorite guy in sports radio is Colin Cowherd. And one of the things he always preaches, he's not the one who originated this, but you never want to be the person who replaces the idol. You want to be the person who replaces the person who replaced the idol. I think he's going to come in and everyone's going to say, and it's going to be very tepid. And I don't think he's going to last.
You know, I think in this case that might be true, but remember, I mean, Jay Leno replaced an idol. You can run down the list of a lot of exceptions to that rule. I don't know about Trevor Noah. I think that's you know, the smart money is probably betting against him at this point. You know, I think the smart money is probably betting on Stephen Colbert. So it really depends on the situation.
One of the reasons Jay Leno did succeed, though, is one of the reasons I really thought they should have picked one of their top correspondents. Jay Leno had been the primary guest host for Johnny Carson. everyone liked him, was familiar. You know, he and Joan Rivers, either of those choices would have been fine because people liked them and were, you know, this is somebody coming in out of complete left field. You know, Stephen Colbert, another example. People were familiar with him, liked him, you know, then they moved him to his show. So it's fascinating to me that they have just really gone out of left field. Sometimes it works, but I don't really see it happening. So, now I'll tell you what I didn't see happening, Tom. This Jurassic World thing, I know we've talked about it a couple of times, but that's how long it's been a massive hit. I know they thought it would be big, but no one thought it would be this big. It is just going and going and going. And the international numbers haven't really fully shaked out yet, so we don't know how big it's going to be, but it's going to wind up as the, you know, like the second biggest domestic movie of all time and way up there for overall worldwide. It's never going to reach Avatar or Titanic, but Tom, what is going on? Because, you know, Genesis, and again, I have feelings about the Terminator franchise, which is the first two movies were great, but it never could live up to it beyond then. It, that franchise doesn't hold it. But that and Magic Mike and these movies aren't doing so well, but this Jurassic World is just going, going, going.
It's amazing. You know, Terminator opened this weekend, Jeff, to be sure to be out of the way of Jurassic World, and it didn't work. I don't know. I mean, it's a good question. I guess we could speculate on why Jurassic World. I mean, it's fun. It's crazy. It's I don't know. What's your theory?
I honestly believe it's what we call the age of Transformers. I just think it's a CGI world now, and the critics don't necessarily have to love it. Now, the critics, I think, would have had to have loved it to see a number even bigger. You know what I mean? It still didn't get that little, that other side of the audience. Now, Avatar did, even though Avatar, I think the writing in Avatar is abysmal because no one had ever seen anything like it. But I'll tell you what Jurassic World is making me think about, Avatar 2, because I'm wondering if Avatar 2 is going to be able to offer something that people haven't seen before, because that's the only reason that movie did so well.
Because in retrospect, it was not a good movie.
No! I mean,
it was not well acted or well written or anything, but it was gorgeous to look at.
And I saw it at the IMAX, which I rarely do. I went to an IMAX 3D and I saw it, and you know, because I wanted to be part of what was, you know, basically bringing 3D back in a really hardcore way. But I'm really fascinated to see, because I think James Cameron might be thinking, he's pretty egotistical. I guess he's figuring whatever it'll be is he'll get the top three movies of all time since he has the top two. Now, but what about Magic Mike, which is counter programming? No one is like, oh, either Jurassic World or Magic Mike. That's not happening. So why do you think that film and Ted 2, two films for adults that are not in that action flick world, why did they not do as well the second time around? I mean, the reviews are not as good, but is that the only reason?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, I think, you know, maybe this goes back to, you know, okay. So here's a theory for you. So, we also got news in this week or the last couple of weeks that, you know, despite our dire predictions over the last couple of years, the box office is actually up this year, right?
Yeah.
So what is happening? So I think, you know, from my perspective at this age, I see a movie industry, a movie theater industry. Let's be, you know, specific about that I'm just really not that interested in much anymore. So, you know, maybe it's a function of getting older. We don't go out to the movies as much or have other things to do, whatever. So who is going to the movies and who is driving these numbers up? I mean, we need to see the demos on this, Jeff, but, you know, I would guess, I would predict, I would assume, that what we're looking at is 12 to 25 year olds, you know, maybe. So this is going back to our kids and kids with cars, concept of what is driving the theater. So, that might explain, why Jurassic World, because it appeals to the 12 year old, or the 12 year old in all of us in a way that Terminator doesn't. I mean, Terminator is a little higher concept. It's probably would be, you know, theoretical and skewing a little bit higher. And Magic Mike, of course, is what it is. I mean, that's going to have a long, if you'll pardon the expression, a long tail. You know, it'll be the bachelorette party movie for a few weeks at least, if not longer. And Ted too, I think, you know, is that a one trick pony? Is that one joke? And we saw the joke and that's pretty much it. So you know, what is going to be surprising about Ted 2 and why would you go to that? So I don't know. That's my theory. What do you think of it?
I think you're probably right. You know, we said this a year ago. We said the box office is down. Everyone's freaking out. But we're looking ahead and we think that 2015 will be, you know, quote, a recovery because we see the titles that are coming. And again, I think that it's all going to be the titles. If you have the right franchises having their either origins or sequels in one given year and then one or two surprises, then you have an up year. And I think that's what they're looking at now, that it's just such a franchise industry now. That if you can get one or two surprises, great, but mostly you're just looking at, is the franchise having its new movie this year? And, you know, we don't know, obviously the box office number that's going to be the most fascinating this year is Star Wars. Does Star Wars still have the cachet to go crazy? Especially if this is a good one. If it's good, And it really still holds now three generations of people. Could it do bigger numbers than Jurassic? It could, but it may not. But either way, it's going to be a massive number. So we knew these movies were coming out. We could probably look at 2016, and if it's not quite as many franchises, it's going to be a down year, and everyone will be freaking out again, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at the movies that have been driving this year's box office, and you got Fury 7, you got Cinderella, you got Pitch Perfect 2 to a degree, 50 Shades of Grey, and American Sniper. And really, you know, the only two titles in there or three, I guess, is American Sniper and 50 Shades of Grey. You know, and now you've got Star Wars. I mean, so this is what is driving the box office are sequels or franchises. It's interesting, man.
Yeah, I mean, technically it's from last year, but there's no doubt that when you look at the end of the box office, American Sniper is the biggest surprise of the year. Jurassic World was going to be a hit. Obviously, it's bigger than people thought, but the American Sniper numbers were the ones that I think people are going to remember for a long time. It's just unbelievable. Hey, Tom, I wanted to close with one of our favorite things to knock on, and that's NBC. I enjoy knocking on NBC all the time. They clearly are lost. They've been lost for many years after decades, a couple of decades of just being so on the mark. They are just so screwed up. First of all, they had this row with Donald Trump, who obviously said ridiculously stupid, awful things. And so they decided to sever ties with him. He says he severed ties with them, which is exactly what, of course, he would say. But I think they did that as much because they're frightened. You know, Univision has more power than them, in a sense, you know, as a separate entity. But Tom, do you know how many of their new shows from last season they renewed? One. They renewed one show. They canceled all the rest of them. And the one they renewed, The Mysteries of Laura, which when I first saw the commercial, I thought it was a little thing from Saturday Night Live. I thought it was a joke. They ordered half a season, and I don't think it'll go beyond half a season. How messed up must you be as a network if you can't keep any new shows from the previous year?
Pretty messed up. So Jeff, is this a problem with NBC? Or is it a problem with networks in general? Are ABC and CBS and Fox to a degree seeing any of this at all?
They are not renewing a ton of shows, but they are renewing some shows. And they still have an identity. Fox is still a little bit, they try to be a little bit edgy. They try to, appeal more to city dwellers, younger people, and they fit their mold. CBS is a certain kind of comedy that works for them, and they try to come up with new comedies that fit that. ABC has a certain kind of comedy and a certain kind of drama. that have been, you know, this Modern Family and Scandal kind of thing. I think they all seem to know themselves. NBC does not know itself. And it has this unfortunate problem of every once in a while it has a show that critics, I'm going to give like Hannibal as an example, that critics like, that isn't watched very well, and so they dump it. They do not give any shows a chance. I know it's harder to give shows a chance, but I'm starting to wonder if you know, what we saw with Hulu picking up a show from Fox. I'm wondering if more shows will get dumped from NBC and picked up somewhere else because they just don't have the patience to see if they can get an audience. But they're a train wreck. I mean, they're a mess.
So it's an absolute train wreck, Jeff. And I don't know what the recovery plan is. It just seems like they're like a drowning man looking for a life preserver. I don't see how they get out of this one. Do you?
I honestly believe that what we're looking at is they're in the throes of end times. I think that they have two options: continue to be more conservative, or really, really go out there and try to do something. And what I would do that they have not been doing is I would be going to showrunners or to movie makers who are really edgy, really hip, really hot, and saying, you can't swear, but other than that, please, just give me a product that you think is good and we'll run it. Do the HBO model. Just give us a product you think is good and run it. But I think they're gonna cower in their hole and make money other places until at some point NBC is the like 7th, 8th, 9th network.
The other extreme is to pick up The Bible Continues and market to the to middle America. That's a super conservative way to go.
But Tom, how about how they canceled it? They canceled The Bible AD. I was sure that one would make it. They said the numbers were a little too tepid, and I thought, okay, well, then just give up on everything because you're done.
So that answers that.
Well, we will see what they're doing. They have one summer hit, which is America's Got Talent, and we'll see if and they have one other hit, which is The Voice and football. So maybe they can find some ways to build on that, singing football players or something. But Tom and I will be back in a little bit, and we will be checking on the box offices for the summer and seeing what's going on with Apple Music and everything else in the world of entertainment for your enjoyment. Tom, I'm Jeff. Have a great day. We'll be right back.